This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, covering lots of issues around Douglas County, and the Executive Director of CASA of Douglas County, Angela Gross, back in here today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me back so soon.
Yeah, we talked to you recently because of Child Abuse Awareness Month, which was last month, right?
Yes, in April.
And here we are already in May, and some things have kind of popped up for CASA. Talk about your concerns regarding funding both for your local program and for others around the state.
Yeah, so we have two funding cuts that are concerning that happened in March and April. One was a continuing resolution budget passed by Congress in March, with all community project funding for the fiscal year 2025 being eliminated. That was $1.7 million for the Oregon CASA network. For Douglas County, that would have been $68,000 that was cut. And then after that, in April, National CASA received a termination notice of their award and funding.
Yeah, talk about that one. How did that all evolve?
Yeah, so there wasn't, at least for me, and I can say other directors here in Oregon, much of a notice that was going to happen. We found out about it, and I actually looked up the notice of termination for National CASA, and it was cut because, and this is a quote, no longer effectuates the program goals or agency priorities. The department has changed its priorities with respect to discretionary grant funding to focus on supporting certain law enforcement operations, combating violent crimes, and protecting American children.
Now, is this tied to a lot of the federal shifts, or was this something that was separate?
I believe it was tied more so to the shifts that we are seeing.
So two big hits there, and how soon does all this take effect in terms of funding you were expecting to get at a certain point that now is not going to be there?
Yeah, so really it starts to affect us now. At CASA of Douglas County, we were not currently receiving any subgrants from National CASA, but they do offer other types of support to programs that could affect us. Along with the other funding cuts, we may have needed to turn to National CASA for grants, and that is no longer an option. Long term, if we don't see funding that we usually receive from state funding, we could see some effects on our staffing levels and ability to advocate for children.
Now, I'm guessing that in the federal wording you saw, it didn't really indicate how they should be done differently, or what was going to happen. Was that idea going to go to a federal agency or anything like that?
Yeah, no. And so with the cut to National CASA, National CASA is appealing that, and we are hopeful that once they review what the program does, that they will bring that back, but we will have to wait and see.
And has that process already begun in terms of appealing?
Yes. And so with National CASA as a local program in Oregon, I don't have insider information for them, but from what we're having passed down, we know that they're appealing it, and we hope to hear good news.
So what have you been hearing from other CASA directors around Oregon?
It really varies. So like I said, some programs have active grants with National CASA. For programs that have that, they're facing immediate cuts and having to look at how to balance that in their budget, whether that's small items or staffing cuts. We are all hopeful. We're pretty supportive of each other. We have a strong Oregon CASA network, but there's definitely a lot of uncertainty out there.
And for some of these, of course, you're dealing with the federal budget year, which really starts in October, unlike state budgets, county, city budgets, things like that, that begin in July. Does that give you any extra time to try to figure something out?
No, we also start our fiscal year in July, so we are right now in the midst of planning our budget, which it's really hard. So we have our state funds that we usually get, and we're waiting to find out if we are going to be receiving those or not. And that's going to make a big difference on how hard these federal cuts are going to hit us.
So a lot of this, that's a lot to take in to get a double hit in a short period of time.
It is. And we are always, so at Casa of Douglas County, we've been running a really conservative budget for a while, knowing that we may be running into tighter times. So we have a modest buffer to keep us going. But if things don't change and if we're not able to get the funding we need from the state, that's going to have a big impact.
And now, talk about how big your staff is.
We are a staff of 5. So really, the lifeblood of our program are our CASA volunteers.
And is that where the training of them, is that where this really takes the biggest effect first?
Yeah. So the recruitment and training, that's time and money. It takes staff. It takes marketing. So that would take a hit. Also, we are only, by national CASA standards, a staff can supervise 25-30 volunteers. So if we have to cut any staff members, that will cut how many volunteers we could potentially be.
Which then, if I'm following this correctly, means you could serve less kids, leaving more kids to navigate all of this without a CASA.
That is correct. And that's, that's the hard part. Short term, that means kids may not have a CASA, but long term, these are children's lives. These children are going to be our community in the next, 2 decades. So we don't know what that could look like.
And whatever you're hearing from some of the other agencies that you work with in, kind of this arena?
So, general concern, there's only a few agencies I can say that I've talked directly with that are facing some cuts of their own. Also a concern, so when we talk about child abuse and child abuse prevention, when there's more stress going on, those numbers could go up. So we're potentially facing an increase of children needing CASAs, decreased funding, so not having as many CASAs to serve an increasing amount of children.
This is probably not giving you a lot of extra sleep at night.
No, it is not. It is definitely something that is at the top of our mind, and we are trying to make plan A through Z of how we're going to make do with what we have.
When you were here last month, you talked a lot about what CASA does, but maybe for folks that didn't catch that or caught the podcast later, kind of go back through what exactly CASA does.
Yeah, so CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. So these are everyday community members who go through a lot of training, a lot of background checks, and then they become appointed to a child who has an open child welfare case, who has experienced abuse or neglect, and they become an advocate for that child. So they meet that child at least once a month. It's usually more. They're also involved with every aspect of that child's life, their dentist appointment, their school, their education plans, and they stay with that child. So they may be the one consistent presence in that child's life who can really see the big overall picture of what's going on. And then they make recommendations to the judge. They're actually in the courtroom making recommendations to the court of what's in that child's best interest.
And talk about the training that folks receive before you send them to do this.
Yeah, so combined with our basic training, and then there's in-courtroom training and training on our computer system, it's about 40 hours of training time.
And over what period of time do you do that?
It really varies. It depends on the class that we're training. Some people want to spend 8-hour days and get through it quick. Some, it's 2 or 3 hours at a time over several weeks. We do whatever is going to fit our volunteer needs best.
All right, we'll talk more about what's going on with CASA, potentially the interview podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. On tomorrow's program, we continue our Oregon Wine Month series. Scott Kelly with the Oregon Wine Council and with a number of other things as well that he's involved in is going to be in for the program. CASA of Douglas County is the topic today. Angela Gross, the CASA Executive Director. So people are hearing this right now, and I know there's a lot going on in the whole nonprofit arena, a lot of different areas with all the various changes we're hearing about. For an individual listener, are there ways they can jump in on this?
Yes. So I'm going to say three things. One, we still need more CASA volunteers. That hasn't changed, and we plan on continuing as much as we can. So anybody who thinks they could be a CASA or knows somebody, check out our website. Number two is right now to help encourage the Oregon legislature to pass two really important House bills that will help us receive the state funding we need with these federal cuts. And that's House Bill 5002 and House Bill 3196A. And we are working on getting information about those up on our website, but people can call our office and get that information.
And I would imagine, and of course, the legislature is meeting now with just like a month and a half to go. So that puts emphasis there. Probably, I'm guessing, but maybe not, the federal whole question of appealing could take longer, might not.
Yeah, you know, we don't have, and when I say we, the Oregon CASA Network, the directors talk every Monday, and we talked about, you know, what does the time frame of that appeal look like, and we don't know. That would more so be a question for National CASA.
Yeah, so this, I mean, when you have, it's one thing to be presented with a situation, have some options, have to figure it out, but it seems like you're really in nothing but questions.
Yeah, and another thing, as you just said earlier, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with nonprofits right now. So we also count on grants from different foundations, and we're seeing those grants become more and more competitive as other nonprofits have funding cuts. So we're dealing with our own cuts as well as more competition for grants that we're normally depend on.
Wow. And yet at the same time, your services to these families and all of that is going on.
Yep, we continue as normal for right now. Like I said, we have a bit of a buffer to see us through to see what changes and if we receive the state funding that we need.
Well, and even with that buffer, though, when you look down the road, because you probably want that buffer to last as long as it possibly can, because you, and unless you identify funding sources that are alternate from the ones that have been cut, that really puts you at a maybe even a pretty tough point.
You know, it does, because we start looking at, okay, how can we start saving money right now to help preserve that buffer? But with a staff of five, we all already wear many, many hats. So other than, you know, trying to use less electricity in the office, there aren't many things that we can cut.
Wow. As you look at this, I'm sure there's days you have looked around and thought, you know, I probably could have an easier job doing something else.
Yes. I wouldn't do that because I'm extremely passionate about what I do, and I completely adore our volunteers and want to support them. But yes, sometimes I daydream about an easier job.
So now you talked last month about getting into this and just really having wanting to have that, you know, be working in a program where you had people making a consistent difference in kids' lives. Talk about some of the things you've seen over time with the CASAs, working with the kids. And, you know, obviously you can't talk very much about specifics, but just in terms of, you know, how situations have been different than they would have been if that child had no CASA.
Yeah, and that's really the big thing with CASA. You know, it's hard to put a statistic on how we help children because every situation is different. One of the big things we get is having CASAs come and tell us that they had one of their past CASA kids, you know, yell at them through the grocery store and talk to them about, like, hey, you were so important in my life. I now have my GED, I'm going to college, or I'm a parent. So hearing these success stories. But we also have plenty of times where a CASA will come into our office and say, hey, I was at a meeting with DHS or with the school or so on, and I was able to provide information that nobody else knew. And that happens in court too. Sometimes nothing is being said about a certain thing, and the CASA, if the judge asks a question, the CASA may be the person who can answer that. We've also had children who have had multiple times they've been moved, and their CASAs have stuck with them, and we see really positive outcomes with that because those CASAs really understood that child and what they needed.
Well, and some of these kids are dealing with single-parent situations, maybe parents that are married, but these are all kids that are in foster care, right?
That is correct. They're all children who are in foster care. I'm going to back that up. They are children with active Child Protective Service case open. They may be temporarily placed back with the parent and still have a CASA, which, that's a big role CASA plays, too. Trying to keep families together. We know children, if they can stay with their family of origin, that is going to be the best option. So that CASA can see what's going on with the parent or parents and make recommendations for the family as well.
And do you guys have any role in working with their parents, or does that go to other providers?
We don't work directly with the parents. We talk with the parents. We ask, like, hey, what do you want us to know about your child? As the case moves along, if it looks like they're going to be reunited, they start, again, they have information of what the parents are doing or not doing, so they can make recommendations to the judge about supports that the parents and the family needs.
So looking ahead, how many months can you sustain where you're at right now?
If we received no extra funds, which we have grants coming in right now, till the end of the year, with our buffer, but we will continue to receive grants, so that's going to extend that. It's the state funding that we will not know about until the end of the legislative session. That's really going to be where we can plan off of.
Well, and I know it sounds like in talking to the legislators that a number of things that are sort of in motion now may be shifted based on the state revenue forecast, which is coming out next week. And so a lot of things are kind of waiting for that before people decide, legislators decide how they're going to vote on certain things. And it sounds like a lot of things are going to be, there's going to be a lot of very feverish work in the ending days of the session. So you may not know the outcome until, about the time it's done.
Yes. And again, with our fiscal year starting in July, that makes things difficult. Waiting to hear what's going to happen. And we are waiting on that May forecast. Oregon CASA Network does have lobbyists here in Salem, and so they've let us know we're waiting for that forecast.
Well, and again, as we wrap up, what are the specifics you're hoping that listeners would consider doing?
One, join us and be a CASA volunteer. Two, if you're in a situation for providing donations, consider CASA. And then three, reaching out to our office to find out how you can reach out to legislators and encourage them to support these two bills.
And what were the two bills about again?
House Bill 5002 is more so the funding that we depend on and usually get from the state. And then there's House Bill 3196 that is going to help bridge the gap due to loss of other funding.
All right. And if people have questions, how do they contact you?
They can go ahead and give us a call at 541-672-7001. They can check out our website at www.casaofdouglascounty.org and also a Facebook page.
Angela Gross of CASA, thanks for coming in. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You- You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.